Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Quick reminder that the soundcheck folks will be talking about the Beatles today. It's not always easy for Beatles fans to come together. Some love John, others prefer Paul. Today on Soundcheck, listeners square off in a Lennon versus McCartney debate. They're still debating that. Coming up at 2 on 93.9 FM WNYC. By the way, if you haven't listened to music on the radio in a while, we have a new star in evening music. Have you heard Terrence McKnight yet? Monday through Thursday nights on evening music with David Garland, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. But the music is better than ever these days, and Terrence McKnight is a great addition to our schedule. So check out evening music on FM 93.9 at 7 p.m. Well, here on The Brian Lehrer Show, it is not just Friday. It's follow-up Friday. And earlier this week, we had Stephen Moore of the Wall Street Journal's editorial board to talk about the election and specifically how John McCain is trying to define his economic strategy. And Stephen Moore said this.
With Ronald Reagan, whether you loved the guy or hated him, you know, you knew he had a kind of core conviction. You knew he had these sort of beliefs about, you know, making government smaller, cutting taxes, deregulating.
And that statement from Stephen Moore prompted this comment from a listener on our comments page. Stephen from Brooklyn wrote, "Please stop perpetuating the myth that Reagan was a fiscal conservative and the size of federal government decreased during his administration. The opposite is truth." Well, we're going to follow up on this now with Luke Cannon. He's written 5 books on Ronald Reagan. His most recent is Reagan's Disciple, George W. Bush's Troubled Quest for a Presidential Legacy. Luke Cannon, welcome back to WNYC.
It's good to be back with you, Brian.
And, of course, Ronald Reagan is such a conservative icon, and it seems like every Republican candidate tries to link their name to his. How much of it is because of his economic policies?
I think it's hard to slice and dice that one and know how much is because of the economic policies and how much is because of the results he was able to obtain in dealing with the Soviet Union. But I think it's fair to say that Reagan, from his earliest days in California as the candidate and afterwards, was perceived as somebody who would restrain the growth of government, cut taxes. And so that's certainly an element of his appeal.
Did he, in fact, reduce the growth of government spending?
I guess you could say yes and no. The problem with this answer is that I always find myself in trouble with both sides. Steve Moore is quite right. Ronald Reagan did have core convictions about cutting government growth and reducing taxes, but he often found it necessary to set aside these core convictions because of practical considerations of government. When he was governor of California, in his first week or month, he agreed to what was then the largest tax increase in California's history. Now, he needed to do that. He'd been left with a deficit because of an accounting gimmick of his predecessor, but it did raise taxes. When he became president, he had campaigned on really essentially 3 promises: increasing the defense budget, cutting taxes, and balancing the budget or reducing the deficit. He said both things. Essentially, what he did was accomplish the first 2 goals at the expense of the second. He cut taxes mightily in his first year, and he got this budget through, which was widely hailed. But he had a Democratic majority, and this budget bill became a Christmas tree bill on which everybody hung pet projects for their own district. Now, where I think President Reagan went wrong, and his domestic advisor, policy advisor Martin Anderson, said this at one point, is that they had assumed that the Republican congressmen, the Republican House members, would be very eager to cut. And as we now know, looking back in history, after a Republican majority, the Republican congressmen behave just like the Democratic congressmen. They want to cut stuff in other people's districts and want to add it on their own. And then the other thing that happened is that the defense increases were actually more than Reagan had promised. And look, I, I don't want to be ideological about that. He definitely left huge deficits, but you can argue that as some do, that those were Cold War deficits. The Cold War was not a shooting war, mostly, thank God, but it was an expensive war. And if you look in the mid 1990s, after Reagan has left office, after Bush has left office, the Republican Congress and the Democratic President Clinton get this balance, this budget, and that's not possible, except for this huge cut in defense spending that occurred after the end of the Cold War. So you can argue that there. We used to talk about the peace dividend. You remember well. And it was
right. That was into the Bush, the first Bush, and the Clinton administration.
Yeah, and the peace dividend was peace, but another part of the peace dividend was that we were able briefly to balance the budget, and I think if one believes, as I do, that the U.S. military spending had a lot to do with getting the Soviets to the bargaining table, then there was a point to the deficit. Where the conservatives go wrong, Brian, is that they want to claim too much. Honestly, Reagan reduced the marginal tax rate from 70% to 28%, but you can't say that he reduced the growth of government. He may have restrained the rate of growth, because of the deficit, it's impossible to do new programs, which most conservatives like. But essentially, if you were from Mars and didn't know whether Mr. Reagan had been a Democrat or a Republican, and you looked at the budget in 1989 when he left and in 1981 when he came in, and you wouldn't see a heck of a lot of difference.
The Wikipedia definition of Reaganomics is this: reduce the growth of government spending. 2, reduce marginal tax rates on income from labor and capital. 3, reduce regulation. And 4, control the money supply to reduce inflation. You agree with that definition, roughly?
Well, I put the second one first, and I don't know that reducing the money supply is a fundamental principle of Reaganomics. What it's a fundamental principle of is what the Fed does when you have high inflation. And essentially what Reagan did, that it's the most terrific thing I think he did economically, but it doesn't fit either ideological side again either. Reagan backed Paul Volcker, who was Jimmy Carter's chairman for the Fed, and at a time that other Republicans, I remember Howard Baker, the Senate leader, was saying, you know, Paul Volcker's on our neck and we got to get him off, and there were a lot of calls to get rid of Volcker. And Reagan, in a very traditional thing, it's something that was done, under other Republican presidents long ago. It certainly wasn't something Reagan had initiated. Reagan said, no, the only way we're going to break the back of this recession and break the back of this inflation is if we have very tight interest rates. And he did break the back of it, but as a result, there was a recession in 1982 and 83, and that's not really Reaganomics. That's sort of traditional Reagan. That's traditional Republican, trickle down economics, if you want.
And isn't it funny that we're talking about that again? That piece of Reaganomics that people don't always bring up every two sentences in political campaigns. That controlling the money supply to reduce inflation, and here we are in this banking crisis and housing crisis, and everybody's looking at the Fed again.
Yes, the difference I think is that Volcker and Reagan were pretty clear-eyed about what would happen if they raised interest rates. Here we've gone the opposite way. We've lowered them to virtually nothing, and I don't think this Fed, as good as Mr. Bernanke is, really has a handle yet on where all these mortgage debt instruments are hidden. So it's, I think, much, much more complicated for this administration and this president. And the other difference is Reagan was a president who was ascendant then. He was ascendant. He stuck to his guns. When the economy began to improve, he said they don't call it Reagan economics anymore. This president is a lame duck, and he's not popular even with his own party, and he doesn't really have much power domestically. Yeah, he's the commander in chief and can wage wars, but domestically, he doesn't have the kind of authority that Reagan had in the early 80s.
You mentioned trickle-down economics. A listener wrote in and pointing out that The Onion wrote an article last year about this very issue, and the headline is, Reaganomics finally trickles down to area man. And the lead is Hazelwood, Missouri. 26 years after Ronald Reagan first set his controversial fiscal policies into motion, the deceased president's massive tax cuts for the ultra-rich at last trickled all the way down to deliver their bounty in the form of a $10 bonus to Hazelwood, Missouri car wash attendant Frank Kellner. So at least that's The Onion's take on it. We talk about the Reagan tax cuts, and we're almost out of time, but didn't taxes go up again under Reagan with his agreement?
Depending on how you compute it, taxes went up 6 or 7 times after that first tax cut. But what didn't go up, what stayed down, and which is I think the crucial case that Reagan did try to keep his promises, is the marginal tax rate, which is the marginal tax rate is the last dollar you make. What rate is it taxed at? It was taxed at 70% when Reagan took office. It was taxed at 28% when he left, and inflation was low. And I think that just as the conservatives would do better if they scrapped the notion that Reagan could walk on water, the liberals ought to give him some credit for being a president who tried to carry out his promises, and in the case of getting the tax rates down and getting inflation down, really succeeded.
Lou Cannon has written 5 books on Ronald Reagan. His most recent is Reagan's Disciple, George W. Bush's Troubled Quest for a Presidential Legacy. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More follow-up Friday in a minute. We'll follow up on the safety of traveling in Bogota, Colombia. Stay tuned.